Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Privileged to be here again and gather in and look into God's Word. Trust we can find some inspiration as we look at the message this morning. Enjoyed the Sunday school discussion on Joseph and his relating to his brothers, and I think it'll be tied together when we look at next Sunday's lesson, the forgiveness that he extended to them. This morning for a message, I want to look a little bit at the part of the makeup of man. We're a three-part being. When you look at the Bible, we see the teaching of the body, soul, and spirit. And this morning I want to look a little bit at the spirit of man and the spirit of God. What are we referring to when we talk of the spirit of man? That's the spirit. Our spirit is a part of our being that can communicate with God. It's a part of our being that can reach out to God, that we can speak to Him, He can speak to us. When we look back at creation, God created man as the crowning work of His creation, would you say it was the last thing that he created? He spent the most time. I think he spent the most time doing that. He reached down and formed man out of the dust of the earth with his hands. We see that God made him in his image. What all does that mean, to be made in the image of God? I think we're going to turn back to Genesis and just look at that a little bit. You can turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God made man in his image. God also has a spirit. We want to look at that a little bit as well as we look at how they interact. But God has a spirit. And man has a spirit as well. And in chapter 2, looking also in chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7, speaking again of the creation of man, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." This verse would speak of the three different parts of man. You see the body, God forming the dust and forming man, creating his body. And then God breathing that breath of life. And the word spirit, translated spirit into English in Hebrew, is often referred to as breath or breath of wind. And this breath of life is when God gave man his spirit. And it said, "And man became a living soul." The soul is the part of us, our mind, our will, our emotions, the part of us that you know, the personality that you know of your friends. The spirit is what God gave to us, the life that he gave to us, and our being able to communicate with him. We want to look a little bit this morning at how we as mere mortals can have that connection with our Creator, the God of the universe. We can communicate and speak with Him. He can speak to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, verse that refers to the threefold nature of man, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We look at the rest of creation and the animals. They don't have spirits. They're not able to communicate with God. Man alone as the creation on the earth is able to communicate with him. We'll look at a few questions. I have three questions here we want to look at. Why did God create man as a spiritual being? Second question, how do we live after the Spirit? How do we communicate with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit? And then the third question, what is our responsibility in light of God creating us with a Spirit? And we being able to communicate with His Spirit, what are some of our responsibilities? So first of all, looking at why did God create man a spiritual being? Why did He create us with spirits, with the ability to communicate with Him? Man is also given a free will. God has given us our own free will that we can choose. And God created some other spiritual beings, some other spirit beings. And we see angels. And yes, they had some choices. They made some choices. We see that in when Satan, Lucifer, chose to rebel against God and he fell. But that their choices are limited in that they are not able to experience salvation like we can. The ones that have fallen are not able to be restored. So we see God having created man as a unique person, a unique creation, someone who has a spirit and is also able to make his own choices. The angels were created as ministering spirits to do God's will, fulfill his desires, and they carry that out without questioning why, without questioning God. They just fulfill his desires. In contrast, we as men have a will. And I think that is one of the reasons why God created us as a spiritual being. The first point I have on that, God is a spirit. God is also has a spirit. In John 4, verse 24, Jesus speaking, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. God has a spirit, and the only way we can communicate with him is through our spirit. And God, that brings us right to our second point. God desires fellowship with his creation. God wants to have the worship of his creation. He wants to communicate and relate to his creation. God is a relational God that wants to have a close relationship with us. Genesis 3:8, back in Genesis again. This was right after Adam and Eve had chosen to take their own way. It's in Genesis 3:8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So God was walking in the garden. He wanted to talk with Adam and Eve, and I think this was happening before, as after God created man, he had fellowship with them, a close fellowship that they spoke with him. They fellowshiped together, spent time together. Well, in Genesis 5, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. Enoch also had a relationship with God. He was speaking with God and sharing with God. So God wants to have fellowship with his creation. God wants to walk close with us today as well. He wants to talk to us and us to talk to him and bring our small problems to him. Nothing is too small for him. are we finding that real in our life today, that just like Enoch, that we walk with God daily? Another point why God created us as spiritual beings: God wants us to choose to willingly serve Him. And that brings in the point of free will, their free choice. Many of the rest of the creation praises God as well. You look at the flowers, the birds, many other creatures. They praise, they bring adoration and praise to God as well, but they are doing it out of the way God has created them. God has created them, programmed them to do what they are doing. That brings honor and glory to God, but what brings more honor and glory to God is when we choose out of our own choice, our own decision to choose to serve Him. Man was not created as a puppet to just do exactly what God programmed us to do, but we have the choice. And therefore, when we worship God in spirit, when we come to Him in adoration and praise, when we voluntarily choose to turn our back on our own desires, our own flesh, it brings great glory to God, to the Creator. And then we see in Genesis how Adam and Eve chose to turn their back on God. They turned their back and fell for Satan's lies, Satan's deceit. And therefore, the rest of us, everyone since then, was born with a fallen nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve. We were all born with that bent towards wrong, that bent towards making our own decisions and turning away from God. So when we, through the power of God, through the power of Christ, turn to Him, it brings great honor and glory to Him. So God created us as spiritual beings for His honor, His glory, to bring praise and worship to Him. The second point: how do we live after the Spirit? And for this part, you can turn to Romans chapter 8. I want to read a number of verses here. It's living after the Spirit. It's living after God's Spirit. Are we following after God when we, as we live our daily lives? Are we exercising our spirit and communicating with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit? I'm going to read Romans 8. Verses 1 to 17, and then verses 26 and 27. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if, ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. And skipping down to verse 26 and 27, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This chapter is full of directives for us on walking after the Spirit, living after the Spirit. I just picked out a few as I went down through these verses. I just seen numerous phrases referring to the Spirit and want to pick a few of them out, look at them. First one in verse 1 is walk after the Spirit. It says, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walk after the Spirit. Enoch walked with God. Enoch communicated with God. How do we walk after the Spirit today? We need to spend time daily. It talks of a daily walk. Walking speaks of a daily communication. I think we need to spend time daily in meditation on God's Word. Spend time reading it and studying it. Talk to God when you pray. He's not way out there in some great mighty king that is not approachable, but he's a personal God that we can talk to personally. Worship God. Worship him in our worship services, in your private time with God. Spend time in worship and adoring him. Spend time singing. As you enter into singing, pay attention to what the words are saying as we sing and spend time worshiping God in that way. Walk speaks of close relationship. So let's walk after the Spirit. The second point in verse 6, be spiritually minded. Verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, what is the opposite of being spiritually minded? It says they're being carnally minded. So maybe sometimes to get a good picture of what being spiritually minded is, we need to look at the opposite. Being carnally minded be minding the things of the flesh, thinking on, dwelling on the things of the flesh. The world around us is full of that. They spend a lot of time being fascinated with the evil, being fascinated with the dirty jokes, the dirty stories, the language the world uses. Are we searching after that? Are we listening to that and dwelling on that? Things that are drawing us away from God. Let's remember to keep our minds free of being carnally minded. Look at the result of being carnally minded. It brings death. It says here, to be carnally minded is death. And not just physical death, but it brings spiritual death. It brings spiritual ruin when we are minding the things of the flesh. It brings us to ruin. Also says it is enmity against God. It is, we're fighting against God. We're pushing back against God when we're carnally minded. because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. To be carnally minded is to be pushing back against everything that God has. Now looking at spiritually minded is the opposite of that. We're going to be listening closely for what the Spirit is speaking to us. And we won't be able to hear that if we're filling our lives with carnally minded things. But as we quiet our hearts and ask the Spirit to speak to us, He can speak to us. Minding the things of the Spirit in verse 5. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So we need to listen for what the Spirit is saying. It also, being spiritually minded, it brings life and peace, the opposite of death. Being spiritually minded brings us peace into our heart, that we know that all is right between us and God. A joy that will last, not just a fleeting happiness or empty fun, but it brings the true joy, the true Christian joy that can fill our hearts. Then in verse 7, being spiritually minded, we're at one with God. The carnal mind is at enmity against God. The opposite of that is being at one with God. We're at rest with God. We're at peace with Him. Subject to the law of God. A spiritually minded person is willing to submit to the direction of God and His Word. We're searching it out and looking for areas in our life that we can apply the Bible to our lives. And it is not burdensome to live after the Spirit. You look at your life, where do you find yourself? Are you carnally minded or spiritually minded? I trust we can be spiritually minded people that grow in walking after the Spirit. Another one, verse 10, closely related, but it says, "The Spirit is life. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." It speaks of the power of the Spirit to bring life. And we have access to the resurrection power. In verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." We have access to that resurrection power. It's that same power that raised up Jesus when He was laying in the grave, brought life back. And that same Spirit's power can quicken our mortal bodies. We can claim that same power in our lives for victory over sin, for victory over flesh and that carnal tendency that we have to turn towards carnally minded things. The fourth point, mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. In verse 13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Mortifying speaks of making dead, killing. What are some of these deeds of the body that we're to mortify? I just want to read Colossians 3, verse 5. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." I think we know what those deeds of our body are, the things that are a temptation to us, the areas that we struggle in, we need to mortify them through the Spirit. It's a daily struggle, a daily battle to put down the deeds of the body. And it's only accomplished through the power of the Spirit. If we do it on our own, we'll fail. We'll live in a life of defeat, a life of failure. When something is emptied, when all the deeds of the body are mortified, we need something to fill it up again. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See the deeds of the body on one side and the fruit of the Spirit on the other. And which do we want? Which do we want our lives to bring forth? I think we know what we want. One speaks of filth and deceit, sin. The other speaks of love, joy, peace, a life that is a blessing to others. The fifth point in these verses that I found is in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Being led by God's Spirit. Are you led by His Spirit this morning? Or are we needing that Spirit to drag us along or to chase us? At that picture, I had to think of a shepherd leading his sheep. They willingly follow. God won't force us to follow him. That's part of his creating us with free choice. He will not force us to follow him or live after his Spirit. He has given us that choice. He wants to lead us by his Spirit. He has given us his direction and his word. He's given us the resources to follow him. Are we willingly choosing to follow him and being led by that Spirit? Point number 6 in verse 15, the Spirit of adoption. What does this mean? What is the Spirit of adoption? When we live after the Spirit, there's a miracle that happens in our lives, in our hearts. We, as fallen mortal men, God will adopt us into His family. God will bring us in and give us access to Him. He is our Father. We can call him our Father, call on him as our Father. We have brothers and sisters that can give us encouragement and a Heavenly Father that we can call on. In verse 16 then, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit brings a peace into your heart, into your spirit, into that part of your being that can communicate with God and gives you that peace and assures you that you're a child of God. Do you know that this morning? Are you able to sense that? If you're not sure, look back over these verses. Read over this passage again. It gives a clear guide to put your life up against. Are you carnally minded or are you spiritually minded? Are you living after the Spirit or after the flesh? Point number 7, pray in the Spirit. In verse 26 and 27, the Spirit gives us a wonderful asset in our prayer life. As we pray and communicate with God, Spirit, His Spirit helps us to pray. It gives us direction. Do you ever have a situation you were praying about and you didn't know how to pray? You didn't know what to pray for and how to pray for, but we can cry out to God. He knows the situation. He knows what's happening. And we can ask Him to intercede for us. The Spirit of God will intercede for us. It says that here in verse 27. Because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit will intercede for us. It also speaks of praying according to God's will. And the Spirit will direct in that. I trust He will. As we open our lives to Him and pray in the Spirit. Looking at the third area, what is our responsibility in light of God creating us with a spirit and being able to communicate with His Spirit? Well, we need to keep our spirits in tune with God's Spirit. We need to exercise it. It's not something that comes easily or naturally, but we need to put forth conscious effort to keep our spirits in tune with God's Spirit. Also, we need to guard our spirits from becoming involved with evil spirits. Angels are spiritual beings as well, and there are fallen angels, and Satan is out there as the leader of the realms of darkness. There is a spirit world out there, and we need to guard our spirits from becoming involved in that. And the best way to do that is stay close to God's Spirit. Don't become curious about all the things out there. We need to not hide our heads in the sand and not be aware of some of those things, but we don't need to dabble into them. To become involved in the spirit world, the realms of darkness, let's keep our lives free from that and keep the Holy Spirit in our lives. Also, we need to tell others about Jesus and the Spirit-filled life. Share it with others. There's many people around us who are not exercising their spirits. And maybe are largely unaware of the work of the Holy Spirit. They have shut their hearts to Him. They have closed Him all out. And we are someone that they can see, someone that they can communicate with, that can share that with them, can share the power of God, the power of His Spirit. Show it to them. Tell them about it. Show them by example, by living a Spirit-filled life that gives evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. As we live our lives from day to day, it can be a witness to those around us. We need to pray for those we know that God could prompt them through their spirit. There's many times God can work in someone's life through their spirit in a way that we cannot do by approaching them and giving them a piece of our mind. But we can pray for them, and God's Spirit can work in their life. Be ready to share that gospel story with those you meet from day to day. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about what the gospel does for you. And that the Spirit will direct us in that. I trust the Spirit will direct us as we go from day to day on where to share and when to share. There's times maybe we just need to pray for someone, but I think there's times we need to speak a word. We need to be willing to speak for Christ. We look at this, our spirit and God's spirit, and how they interact together. I get you cause worship in us. We're small, mortal men, frail humans, but God wants to dwell in us through his Spirit. In closing, I'll read a verse in Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. Doesn't that sound like a great God that's way up there, almost unreachable? But then listen to the next phrase. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So God is a great God, but he wants to, his desire is to dwell with those who are humble and open their spirit to him. Let's remember to exercise our spirits, to worship God in our spirits, to open our lives to his Spirit that he can work in our lives as well. Let's kneel together for prayer.